wisdom that's flowing right here and right now. So Ernest Holmes has some wonderful things. I love this teaching. In order to truly open ourselves to something new and thus something greater than we have ever known, we must also be reachable. It is very easy to sit on our caves cranking out the same old beliefs we have always been holding for years. Anybody do that? Different day, same belief. Different day, same belief. Where here we get to change our thinking and change our life. And we love change, don't we? Yeah. Woo. Change anything on my smartphone, and let me tell you, I'm just frustrated. So putting that down, what I want to talk about today, of course, being reachable and teachable, but I want to call out diversion therapy. I feel like this is how I raised my children. I have four amazing, amazing children. And it was always the diversion therapy. They're angry and upset about something, and then you just divert the attention. Ooh, shiny object. Oh, look at this. Look at this. And I feel like I have to do that with myself sometimes, because you get caught up into what's going on out here in the world, and we forget that we're creating our own reality. And if I would just change my thinking, then I could change my life. So let me focus on something that's better. Let me divert my attention. And many times we're just dragging around our old story. And it's like, I don't even know how to get out of this story. Well, shiny colors, pretty objects, diversion therapy. And I'm not saying put on your blinders. I'm saying focus on something that's a lot more happy. Think of a time when it's like, oh, when the Christmas tree lights were on and the snow was gently falling and I was snowed in and nobody could come over and I couldn't go out, and it's like just a magical, mystical moment. Find those magical, mystical moments and take yourself there in mind when you get caught up into the thinking that's taking you down a road that says, life isn't good, everything sucks, I don't even know how to get out of this. How can I divert my attention to something else? And easier said than done, because sometimes we're just so caught up in our story, caught up in whatever it is. I remember years ago, I was reading John Bradshaw, his book, The Shame That Binds Us. And he said his biggest fear was letting other people find out that he just really didn't know anything. And he said, I felt like I was just pretending like I was something. And he said, that's where I had to just put it all down. And it's like, you know what? I am who I am. And that was such a pivotal moment for me, because I think I must have felt, like I was hiding also. That, you know, it's like somebody's going to find out I don't know very much. Somebody's going to find out I haven't done it all right. And that's where we get to come out and just totally make peace. And it's like, at that point, I started asking questions. If I was in a class and I didn't know what they were talking about, it's like, I have no clue what you're talking about. Could you explain it to me like I'm a second grader, because I'm not getting it? And just making peace with that, making peace with the I am that I am, and it's okay. Right after I got out of school, I was engaged in it, and I did get married, and that was a great adventure. So we owned a... You always go up on the octaves where it's like you're trying to convince yourself, right? It really was a great adventure. We have four wonderful children to prove that it was a great adventure, so... But we owned a restaurant together, and we had this little cook. We're in small town USA, and she was a great cook. She just didn't have any front teeth, and her hair was pretty wiry, and she was just maybe weighed 98 pounds. But she's a great cook, and she's got her little apron on, and she's stirring a kettle. And I come in, and I'm complaining about the night crew. I'm going off about, oh, I can't believe they didn't do this. They didn't do that. They didn't do this. And she turns around and she says, well, not everyone likes you either. It was a concept I had not considered. And I was shocked by it. And not that I was thinking that, oh, I'm all that. But it's that I was really thinking that I was so less than that. Why would I be the topic of anyone's conversation? So it was really an interesting thing to me, because it really just took me back. And she's like, I'm thinking, that's right. It's true. Perhaps not everyone knows my greatness. But we get to that point where it's like, whatever anybody thinks, that's their business. That's okay. And I don't have to buy into that. What's most important is that I make peace with myself regardless of anything else that's going on out there. I remember when my second born, Christopher, I was on the phone with my sister, and he was wanting something and wanting my attention, and he yelled, "You're the meanest mother ever!" And my sister was on the phone with me, and she said, "That means you're doing a good job!" I'm like, "Oh yeah, I'm doing a good job. This child wants to be gone." So making peace with ourselves, regardless of what kind of feedback we're getting from the outside world. It's like, can I love myself through the process? Can I be okay with myself? And perhaps any of the feedback that I'm getting, if I'm focusing on that feedback, maybe I'm forgetting to do a little mirror work and looking in the mirror and telling myself how awesome and amazing and wonderful I am and how unique I am. And that it's okay to be who I am and to have the opinions and the ideas that I have. And if I want a better life, I need to love myself and love my life to the next experience. Now, I have moved now about 53 times in my lifetime. I'm a traveler. I'm an adventurer. There was always a reason. And when I started counting it up, it's like, I like different areas. But what I did learn years ago is that I needed to be okay right where I was, because no matter where I go, there I am. I take myself with me. And so my advice to anyone who's ever moving or shifting anything is love yourself to the next level. If you're making a shift of any kind in your life, love every part of it. Changing a job, love every part of it so that you can take that love part to the next position. If you're moving to another state, another place, it's like love yourself to the next place. And part of that is falling in love with that. I remember years ago when my dad was selling, he had this little house in small town Nebraska, and he wanted to sell it. And so I said, we need to make it look cozy because it's little. Make it look warm and inviting. And we did a couple things, and you just walk in and you just felt at home. And it sold after it had been on the market for a long time. So it's putting love into where we are so that we can move it to the next level and the next level. It's doing the same with ourselves and being mindful of what we're thinking every day, all day long. Because every thought is a seed. Yay! And some of our thoughts, we do not want to be planting those and we do not want to be growing those. So making sure that we're taking time to be mindful of what we're thinking. So the book of the month, it's a suggested reading, is Brené Brown's book, Daring Greatly. And she talks a lot about being vulnerable, about putting ourselves out there, and about loving ourselves regardless of what we've been through. And one of the things that she says is courage starts with showing up and letting ourselves be seen. Showing up and letting ourselves be seen and being okay with ourselves just as we are, the good, the bad, the ugly, because not everybody knows all the stories of our life, and there may be things that we want to, let me tuck that in my belt because I don't want anybody to know that part. But you know what? When we get to the space, it's just, you know what? I am who I am, and we've all had these adventures, and we've all had things go on, and we've had stuff happen. And being able to, right? Being able to love ourselves right where we are, regardless of everything that's gone on. That there is the true mission in life. Ernest Holmes says this, and I absolutely love it. We are on a path of experience, just waking up to the real fact of our true being. As we awake, we find we are surrounded by many false conditions, but there is something within which remembers the real state. Because out here is an illusion. I know that Wayne Dyer used to do the row, row, row your boat, row your boat, don't row my boat. Gently, gently down the stream. Don't try and go upstream. Merrily, 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 be happy. Because life is but a dream. And it's the dream that we're creating. So making sure that we are creating a dream of beauty and brilliance. Put the nightmare down, right? And it's like, how can I do that when it's other people out there and I'm reacting to what's happening out there? Well, we're very powerful. So instead of reacting, we get the opportunity to start responding appropriately. Respond by, even though that person's acting out, let me look through and just see the spirit in them. Let me see the beauty and the divinity in them. And let me look in the mirror and see the beauty and divinity in myself. Even if I made a mistake, even if I said something that was wrong, let me clean that up and let me move forward. Let me make sure that I'm loving myself and loving everyone in my experience. He goes on to say, the time has come in our evolution when we should awaken to the recognition that behind each one stands the eternal mind, that each has complete access to it, that each may come to it for inspiration and revelation, and that surrounding all is a divine law obeying that that creates the eternal mind. So eternal mind, spirit, energy, that God stuff, that universe stuff is flowing through each one of us. And we get the opportunity to create what we choose by continuing to focus on the seeds that we're planting, seeds of love, seeds of greatness, seeds of joy. And being in those reachable spaces. I'm not listening, la, 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 I'm not listening. And spirit is calling and it's guiding us. And sometimes we just want to, let me just zone out, let me just, what do they call it now where people are watching TV and it's binge watching, thank you. Couldn't think of the word. Binge watching, show after show after show to try and numb ourselves, or putting in some kind of substance to try and numb ourselves instead of, let me feel it all. Let me put all down the other stories that I've had and let me make sure that I am loving myself every day. I like to make my spiritual practice fun. Oh yeah, I'm not going to hula hoop, don't worry. Although Judy had a great idea. She's like, let's have a hula hoop barbecue thing on the beach. That'll be our beach blanket bingo, right? But I like to imagine that there's like a net here that can take out anything, you know, like a cheesecloth. Some of you that cook would know what that is. But that I can just go down and release anything that doesn't serve me. I can just let it go, including those old stories, and I can step aside from that, part of my diversion therapy, and let me focus on something that makes me feel happy and joyful, because the more happy and joyful I am, the more I'm creating a world of love and peace and harmony. So within, so without. And the more we can get to that space of peace inside of us instead of fighting ourselves all the time. And it's like, oh, spirit's saying go this way, and I'm saying no, no, no. Or I'm not even hearing spirit because I'm having too much noise and too much other stuff go on. But then getting, what is my highest dream? And let me just put it right in there because that's my vortex right there. And then I'll just stand in there and know that all is well and divine. It's a fun little game I like to play. Keep my hula hoop there. I invite you to go to the dollar store, get a hula hoop. And make your spiritual practice fun and playful. It's like, let me go into that vortex there where I know everything is good and peaceful. And I won't step in there with any other thoughts except love, peace, harmony, and joy. And all the dreams and everything that I'm wanting is right there. So let me just immerse myself in that. And just feel it with every part of me. As we visualize, verbalize, and feelingly believe it, then we actually do step right into the picture. Getting ourselves out of the way. And making peace with every part. I really do encourage you to take a look at Brené Brown's book, Daring Greatly. What we know matters, but who we are matters more. Because we can talk all day about what we know. And as Emerson says, who you are speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. Because who we are speaks loudly. So making sure that it's not that toxic anger, frustration, but it's that love, peace, and harmony, regardless of how other people are reacting or responding. And I love those two words, because if you go to a doctor's office, they give you medication. oh, you're having a reaction to the medication, that is usually a negative. Or if they say, oh, you're responding to the medication, that's a positive. So how can I respond responsibly for myself and for my vision of the world? So if people are acting out or things are happening out here in the world, it's like, okay, that is not mine to do, because each person is on their own journey. Mine is to love them regardless of what they're doing. Easier said than done, right? Because sometimes, like, my children don't always do what I want them to. My son Christopher is moving back to China. I'm like, oh, okay, yay, okay, best day ever. Because I want to always keep them very close, and I want them to do what I want them to do, and yet they have a mind of their own. And then I have to think of my mother. I remember many years ago, I was sitting at a table telling a friend of mine, and two of my children were with me, and I was telling them that, yeah, I'm going to get my mother, and we're going to travel cross country together. I can't believe I'm going to travel cross country with my mother. And my youngest son said, I know what you mean. I'm like, thank you for sharing. I love you too. Just as you are and just as you are not. And it's like allowing each person to just be the free spirit that they are. And I know in much of our teachings, it talks about the world being our mirror. And sometimes I'll take that in and it's like, oh my God, what's going on? I'm seeing things incorrectly. So let me just have a little diversion therapy. And let me know that everything out here is whole, perfect, and complete. And that right here is the most important thing. What am I thinking? What am I feeling? What am I allowing into my mind, into my thoughts? Because I'm part of the whole, and every thought is creating everything. So if we want to be part of the solution, the best thing we can do is see the highest and best in everyone. And let me tell you, when Marianne Lewis is singing, I'm like, woo, nice mirror, I love it. Yay, good talent, beautiful, eloquent, amazing. And when we have people speaking, it's like, oh, that's so awesome. The divinity in me celebrates and honors the divinity in you. And there is our whole teaching right there, is seeing the divinity in each and every person. Each and every person. Let me say that again. Each and every person. Because sometimes there are people just acting out, and it's like, oh, isn't that an interesting reflection of spirit acting as me? So it's like, I'm not going to take that in as guilt and shame. I'm going to know that each individualized expression of spirit is perfect in their own expression, and I'm going to love to the next level and remember that peace and harmony and love is what I'm wanting. So that's what I'm going to see, and that's what I'm going to give. Ernest Holmes wraps up by saying this: each individual experience is the logical outcome of the inner vision. Their horizon is limited to the confines of their own consciousness. Whenever this consciousness lacks a true perspective, its outward expression will lack harmony. This is why we are taught to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Renewing our minds. Since no one lives by proxy, but each unto their own self, every individual must make the test of their own soul. Everyone's on their own mission, their own journey. And for me to keep creating a world that works for everyone, which is Centers for Spiritual Living, that is our mission at large, is a world that works for everyone, then the greatest gift I can do is be at that gentle allowing space and love myself through the process. So while we're loving ourselves through the process, making sure that we know that we are connected to Source, connection is why we're here. This is a Brené Brown. Connection is why we're here. It is what gives us purpose and meaning to our lives. The power that connects, the power that the connection holds in our lives will be confirmed when we main. Wow, I'm really. I'm forgiving myself in this moment. basically, she says that the greatest gift is knowing that we are here and where we come from has made us lovable. We are here And every part of everything that's happened has made us lovable and beautiful and worthy in this moment. So let's take all that and put it in our vortex and know that life is good as we go inside our heart of hearts. Putting down any old story that doesn't serve us. Knowing that Spirit is guiding and directing, the infinite power, the infinite mind, the infinite oneness of the universe flows right where we are, right where you are, right where I am. It is the I am that we are, that I am.